I'm going to begin in a moment in verse 18. Now, once you find your place in chapter 8, if you'd flip back to chapter 4, kind of give you a review of where we've been in Matthew so far, just very quickly. Chapter 5, chapter 6, and chapter 7 are Jesus preaching. We call that the Sermon on the Mount, those three chapters, 5, 6, and 7. The preaching concluded at the end of chapter 7. Right before chapter 7, in chapter 4, look in chapter 4 in verse 19. The Lord, in verse 19, He said unto them, "Follow Me, and I will make you fishers of men." Now go to chapter 8, if you would, in verse 19. Chapter 8, in verse 19, a certain scribe came and said unto him, "Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest." Look at verse 22. Jesus said unto him, "Follow me, and let the dead bury their dead." And then look at verse 23. When he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. Now, when you think about following the Lord Jesus Christ, that means to go where he goes. Amen? That means to endure whatever he asks you to endure along the way. In chapter 5 and chapter 6 and chapter 7, he preached. And if you look in the first verse in chapter 8, it says, "Great multitudes were following him." Today, in verse 18, the very first verse we're going to look at, it says, "Great multitudes followed him." Now, these are the very same people that about 3 years later cried out, "Crucify him." Amen. In fact, this first year of his ministry is called the year of popularity, where a lot of people followed him. As time went on, fewer and fewer and fewer followed him, so much so that the last part of his ministry is called the year of obscurity. There were about 120 people that were traveling with him, but by and large, folks had rejected him. Why would that be? Why would it be? You see, they saw what he could do in the first part of chapter 8. He could heal. And they're thinking, wouldn't it be great if I got some benefit from the Lord Jesus Christ like those people that got healed? They heard his preaching in chapter 5 and chapter 6 and chapter 7, and they liked what they heard, and they liked what they saw. But now, in chapter 8, beginning in verse 18, there are some expectations that are given. I'll just ask the question, is it easy to follow the Lord Jesus Christ? No. What's that old saying my dad used to say to me? If it was easy, everybody would be doing it. Why is it that some people will come to church once, maybe twice, maybe three times, and then you don't see them anymore? Why is it that some people hear the gospel, and by the way, it is not an accurate presentation of the gospel unless you present the fact that Jesus Christ wants to save us out of our sin to live a life with him instead of in the world. The world's got a lot of exciting things to offer, or so it may seem. A lot of riches, a lot of excitement, a lot of experiences and activities and entertainment and all the rest and pleasures. And there's a lot of things the world has to offer that the Christian has to say, "That's not for me. I want Christ instead." A lot of folks aren't willing to do that. So what you're going to see this morning in this series of verses here at the end of chapter 8 is a transition from the good preaching and what he's done for others to some expectations. And that's the reason some people won't follow him. Some people come to church and they hear the Bible, but then when they understand there's some expectations, then they back away. And by the way to stay put is to ask Christ to come into your heart and save you. He'll change what you want. Amen? So let's stand for the reading of God's Word. I'm going to read Matthew chapter 8. I'm going to begin reading in verse 18 and read down to verse 27. Then we'll have a word of prayer after that. The Bible says, "Now when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave commandment to depart unto the other side. And a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, The foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. But Jesus said unto him, Follow me, and let the dead bury their dead. And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, Why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you this morning for the Word of God. Thank you that the Holy Spirit has promised that the Word of God never returns void. It always accomplishes its purpose. Lord, I pray today that the people in this room hearing the Word of God would understand what you have to say to them and that they would receive it and not reject it. I pray that if there's one here that doesn't have the Lord Jesus Christ living in their heart, that today would be the day of their salvation. I pray for those here that may be struggling with something, that they would make a decision to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, whatever the cost. And Lord, I pray that you'd speak to all of us. The Bible says you can reprove and you can rebuke and you can exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. I pray you'd do that today. And I pray for folks that can't be with us, that you'd comfort them and work in their hearts as well today. We pray that your will would be done, especially at the invitation time, and we ask these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. There's a lot of little nuggets, little goodies in this passage, and I don't want to miss them. I'm going to name several of them before we look at a simple outline. For example, you notice that sometimes it seems like the Lord's unaware. You ever had that situation in your life where there's a trouble and you just kind of feel like God isn't paying any attention to it or to you, perhaps? That's what the disciples experienced here. He was asleep in the ship, and they had to wake him up to tell him that they were going to die. Well, they weren't going to die. Folks, if you're in the ship with the Lord, everything's okay. Amen. Amen? Say, Pastor, there's a storm. Have you ever been in a little boat in a big storm? Now, when these say ship, they're not talking cruise ship here. We're talking about maybe a 30-foot long, maybe a 25-foot long, maybe a little longer than that, rowboat, basically. Just a big boat. And if you've ever been in one of those, out when the waves are bigger than the boat, that's one thing. But when the waves start coming in the boat, that's another one. And that's what was happening here, is these fellows were getting wet. And they're asking themselves, doesn't the Lord care that we're about to die? He's sleeping. I can say so many interesting things about this. Folks, if the Lord is calm, you should be calm too. Amen? And he was not unaware of their situation. He's God. He knows exactly what's going on. And isn't it interesting that the Lord can sleep through a storm? Maybe we need to learn that talent too. Amen? There's some interesting things to see there that are very fascinating. Look at the power of prayer. They cried out to him in verse 25, Lord, save us, we perish. That is not a long, complicated prayer, is it? You ever prayed one of those? Driving down the highway and all of a sudden, Lord, help! It's like that. And he does. I can tell stories, I won't take the time. But look where the prayer, he went from being asleep to being awake to arising, and then the ultimate result was a great calm. And when God answers prayer, don't you enjoy that great calm that he can send, amen? When you were in the storm and suddenly the Lord calms the storm, And folks, although Christians do face storms in their life, it is not God's will that we spend our entire life in a storm. There will be blessings. There will be seasons of rest. But don't get too comfortable. There will be more storms later on. That's okay. As we've talked about in Sunday school, the afflictions of the righteous are many, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. That's Bible. Trust that. You can see some other things here. Do you realize he led them into a storm? He talks about getting in the ship back up in verse 18, departing unto the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And someone says, well, you know, as long as I'm with the Lord, it's going to be calm, smooth seas. No, he led them into a storm. Why would he do that? Look at the result. You know, you never are going to see marvelous deliverance unless there's something to be delivered from. And look what they said at verse 27. It says, the men marveled. I like that word, marvelous. That was a marvelous deliverance. Now, in your life, could the Lord calm the sea? Amen. Have you asked him to? Do you trust him? Does he have a reason for the storm? Undoubtedly. No question about it. Storms in our lives have a purpose. And don't be so grievous that God took you into a storm. Just look for the reason for it and ask him to deliver you. And he does. A lot of exciting things there. The deliverance is marvelous. Notice that statement there in verse 26. He says, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? You know, when we're afraid, that's like a little meter in our body. The fear meter is the same as the lack of faith meter. Amen? The more susceptible you are to fear, it seems like the less faith you have. If you have trouble being afraid of things, increase your faith. How can I do that, Pastor? Well, one thing you can do is to read the Bible. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And by the way, if you don't understand the Bible, lots of people in our church would be glad to help you understand it better. Amen? Now, this is a message for disciples. This is about disciples. A disciple is someone that is, you won't like this word, disciplined. You see, discipleship involves discipline. Discipline, the definition of that would be doing things the right way, learning how to do things the right way, and doing them that way. So the Lord is teaching the disciples some disciplines. And he is not talking to folks that don't want to follow him. There's a lot of folks that don't want to follow him. They've heard about him. They saw the preaching. They saw the healing. And they went home. It happens, doesn't it? It happens in churches. It happens in our day. I'm not talking about the atheists so much, although they would be in that category, but talking about the people that they came to church, they heard the gospel, and they said, that's not for me. I don't believe that. Let me tell you something. The Lord Jesus Christ is for me. Amen? And I think he's for you as well. But don't think that following him is free. It's going to cost you something. It's worth the price. Talked about that a few weeks ago. The price of your faith is the value of your faith, is what you're willing to pay for your faith. Now, one more time before I begin, if you do not know Christ as Savior, someone says, Pastor, what does that mean to know him as your Savior? The Bible says we've all sinned, haven't we? Everybody has sinned. You say, well, I'm not a bad sinner. That's not the question. The question is we've all sinned. I've never killed anybody. I know, but you've told a lie, and you've stolen. And you've cheated somewhere along the way, and you've been selfish. The Bible says the greatest commandment is to love God with all your heart, and you've not done that. So we've all sinned, and the Bible says the wages of sin is death, and that death and hell are going to be cast into a lake of fire one day. It is a fact. Hell is real. Someone says, prove it. Okay, read the Bible. Jesus preached about hell more than heaven. I'm not ready to call Jesus a liar, are you? He said that the rich man lift up his eyes in hell, being in torments in the flame. Hell is real. And your friends that you haven't witnessed to are going to go there if they don't receive Christ. But the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. What does that mean? Through Jesus Christ our Lord. If you will come to the Lord Jesus Christ The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from the penalty of sin, saved from a life of sin. Amen? Aren't you glad you did that? If you haven't done that, you can at the end of the service. Now, after you've done that, the question is, will you be a disciple? I know you've heard the preaching, chapter 5, 6, and 7. I know you've seen the healing, chapter 8, verses 1 through 17. But now there's the price to pay. Listen to this. It won't take long, but it's very interesting. First of all, I'm going to show you about four or five things about disciples, and we'll try and make it simple. First of all, a disciple is, here's the word, portable. Pastor, what are you doing? I'm alliterating with the letter P. What it means is disciples move around. Amen? Now, let me show you this in verse 18. He says, now when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave commandment to depart unto the other side. And in verse 23, it says, he was entered into a ship and his disciples followed him. And the implication there, since they went out into the water, is there was a departure. Disciples are portable. Folks, God didn't save us to sit. I like sitting. I have found as I get older, my wife and I just enjoy sitting and talking, preferably with a cup of coffee. If you like coffee, I do. And it's just comfortable to sit, isn't it? And I can find myself sitting longer than I should. When I was younger, I might have moved around more, but still, I liked to rest. Rest is okay, but there's work to be done. Amen? Yeah. Listen to me. If you're a disciple, Jesus didn't call you to sit. I mean, think about the phrase here. Follow, by implication, means he's moving, you're going with him. Where's the Lord going to go tomorrow that he wants you to follow him? Amen? Somewhere. Now, you got a job. Good news, he can use you at work. Tomorrow, he's going to be here working in our school. Tomorrow, he's going to be working in your life, wherever you are. The young people say, well, what about me? I'm not very important. I'm just a young person. No, you can follow Jesus tomorrow. Amen? Amen? What do you think Jesus would be doing tomorrow? We were talking about entertainment before the service just now. I don't think Jesus is a video gamer. Amen? And I don't want to be irreverent, but what I'm trying to say is, there are some things he'd like to do. Here's some things he'd like to do with you tomorrow. He'd like to speak to you through the Word of God. He'd like to hear from you in prayer. And then he'd like to lead you through your day. He may take you someplace you didn't want to go so you can give somebody a gospel tract. Amen? And when you get there, give him a gospel tract. He may take you to some place where you can witness to somebody verbally. But disciples are portable. We're not saved to sit. Look at the second thing here. It gets a little bit more interesting as we go along. Verse 19. A disciple pays a price for his discipleship. Look at this. A certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Good intentions, amen? He says, I know that you ought to be followed. I know that you may go someplace that I'm not aware of. Wherever that is, I'll go with you. And Jesus says, you need to know something. He says in verse 20, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Now you know, if you know the New Testament, that the Lord Jesus Christ never owned a house. That doesn't mean it's wrong to own a house. But what it means is in his ministry, he just moved around. You might know some missionaries that have gone to a foreign field and they just stay wherever they can for a while, or the ones on deputation do that as well. But that's not so much the point here. The thought is this. There are things in this world that other people seek, that other people have, that other people may enjoy, that you and I as disciples may not be able to have. We may have to forfeit some things. We will have to forfeit some things. Now, you may have a house. That'll be great. But, you know, I found out something else. This world is not my home. And by the way, God might move you. He's moved me several times to places I never, when I lived in Utah, if you'd have said, Pastor, where do you think the Lord's going to take you? I wouldn't even thought of Maryland. It wouldn't have even come to my mind. I know a fellow that was an air traffic controller back in the 1980s. And he's a born-again Christian, and it was time for him to get transferred. And this Baptist air traffic controller told me, he said, I prayed to God, and I said, God, take me anywhere in the country you want except Salt Lake City. Guess where he wound up? Amen? Let me ask you this. Do you think God knows where to put you? Amen? You know, some of us might say, I never would have thought. I've told this story so many times. It is such a blessing to me. In this room today is a young man that ran into the back of my car. Now, how many of you want to be in a car wreck? Nah, not really big on that. And Brother Caleb back there, he ran in. I'm so glad he hit my car. That was one of the biggest blessings I've had since I got here. He's still here today, years later. Amen? And, you know, God can put you together in some funny ways. God knows what you need. Are you willing to trust Him? Fellow says, I'm willing to trust Him except in Salt Lake City. No, especially in Salt Lake City. I'm willing to trust Him until things get hard. No, especially when things get hard. Amen? If you want to be a disciple, how would you like to get on the roller coaster at the theme park and it went 40 feet straight and they stopped it and said, get out? That was no fun. But what about some loops and some curls and so on? Now, you're screaming the whole time you're doing that, but when you get done, you say, hey, that was kind of fun. You're going to step into eternity, and I'm making light of some things that are not so light, but you're going to step into eternity and look back and go, as windy and twisty and as much pressure there was in my life, the Lord carried me all the way through safely. Amen. There's a price for being a disciple. I hope you're willing to pay that price. A lot of people aren't. It surprises me how many people aren't willing. They know that Jesus preaches the truth. They've heard it. They know He can do great forth things for people. They've seen it. When it comes time for them to follow Him, they're not willing to pay the price. The great multitude turned into a very small number of people over the course of 3 years when they found out what the price was. And all I can tell you is this. The Lord Jesus Christ is priceless. Whatever price you have to pay to follow Him, it's worth it. Think of the price He paid for you. There's a third thing in verse 21. Look at verse 21, Matthew chapter 8 and verse 21. Another of His disciples said unto Him, Lord, suffer me first, that's the key word right there, to go and bury my father. But Jesus said unto him, follow me and let the dead bury their dead. You say, Pastor, that sounds kind of cold. No, Jesus comes first. Amen? There's nothing wrong with going to a funeral, but that's not the priority. The Lord's the priority. Amen? And that's my third point here, is if you're going to be a disciple, you've got to have proper priorities. Amen? You say, well, Pastor, my priority is to get rich. Wrong priority. Pastor, my priority is to have a great car. Great cars are nice, but that's not a good priority, amen? And I have a hard time picking whatever your priority might be. Just remember this. If you're going to be a disciple, the top of the list needs to have Jesus' name on it. If it's a choice between Jesus and the second thing or the third thing or the fourth thing or the fifth thing or the 20th thing, the answer is Jesus. Amen? You've got to have proper priorities. All right, real quick, let's just look at a couple more. Let's look at verse 23. This is when they entered into the ship and His disciples followed Him. And I, just for the record, I don't think the scribe is with them anymore. I think he bowed out when he found out what the cost was. I don't know much about the second fellow in verse 21 and 22, but in any case, His disciples, folks, if you're a disciple, you follow the Lord. Amen? Where He leads me, I will follow. We sing the song. He told them back in chapter 4, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. If you're a disciple, you follow the Lord. And it's not a question of where He goes or how hard it gets or how big the waves are, the storm or whatever. We just follow the Lord. And His disciples followed Him. That's what a disciple does. And behold, verse 24, there arose a great tempest in the sea. in so much that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. I've seen big waves. I've never seen them come into the boat. I was on the Gulf of Mexico in a 25-foot boat one time, and we were going out to an oil rig, and we were going with the wind. We were going a little bit faster than the wind, and so for 1 minute, we'd be up on top of a wave, and you could see everything. The next minute, we'd be down in between two waves, and I'm serious. You're looking right there, and there's water. You're looking right there, and there's water. And then in a minute, you'd climb that wave, and you're back up on top again. I never have been in a situation where those waves came into the boat. I don't think I would like that. These men are fishermen. They've seen storms. They know a bad storm when they see one. They know danger when they see it. They have escaped from storms before, I'm sure, but now it's gotten bad. And the conclusion is this: there is no hope of survival. We're going to die. We're going to be overcome by this. That was their assessment of the situation. It says the ship was covered with the waves. And you can picture that. You're in this boat and you're in the Sea of Galilee. By the way, there's no motor. This is either sail power or oar power. And so you're not maneuvering very well. And the waves are crashing over the ship. And the Lord's asleep? I already talked about that. You know, he knew what was going on. He's trying to teach him something. And they came to him in verse 25 and awoke him, saying, "Lord, save us, we perish." Well, I will give them credit for one thing. They knew who to talk to, amen? I'm not encouraging fear, but cry out. Amen? The Bible says that he promised that if you come to him, he will in no wise cast you out. He can help you. He can deliver you. If you're lost, he can save you. If you're saved, he can help you. He can deliver you. He does. He led them into the storm, and he was in the storm with them. And folks, a disciple is going to face perils and problems in life. It is a fact. It will at first surprise you. Peter said this, Peter or James, I forget. He said, "Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial that will try you, as though some strange thing hath happened." Have you ever, as a Christian, and those of us that have been saved for a while, thought, "I could never believe it would get this bad"? And so, as I mentioned last week, I was preaching about that in Salt Lake City a little bit, and the fellow thought, "What does this man know? He's never seen anybody martyred for the cause of Christ, and I haven't." But folks, there have been people that have died for the cause of Christ, I'm sure, this week. Amen. There are people that are suffering. There are people living in lands that are controlled by Islam, and they're outcasts, and their life is in danger, and their property, if it's not been destroyed already, is in jeopardy. And why? Because they trusted Christ. Oh, just for the record, these people that say, "Oh, we think all religions are just acceptable." Yeah, most religions is what they should say. I want you to know something. It is just a fact. I don't know how to make it more real to you than it is already, but there will be perils and trials and problems in life. Now, by the way, lost people have problems too. The difference is they have no God to turn to. They have their idol, their false gods to turn to, but they don't have the God of the Bible like we do. But there are going to be trials in life. There are going to be situations that you think, "I'm going to perish." There are going to be times when you think, "I can't survive this one." That's just the way it is. Don't let that keep you from being a disciple. Amen? The Lord can carry you through. And he did. And that's what happened here. So there's one more thing, and let me just wrap this up real quick. A disciple is someone who's portable. They move around. A disciple is someone who pays the price for his discipleship. A disciple has proper priorities. A disciple is going to face problems and peril. But this is the good part. A disciple is going to see promises fulfilled. Look at verse 26. "He saith unto them, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm." Wouldn't you like to see that? Calm. Just all of a sudden the wind stopped. just all of a sudden, the waves just settle down. And all of a sudden, there they are in the night, in their little boat, wet, but still calm seas all around. And who brought the calm? The Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? I'd like to see that. Oh, wait a minute. In order to see that, I got to go through a storm. It's okay. Amen? I'd like to see the Lord deliver. Sure feels good, doesn't it? It feels so good, you want to go tell somebody about it. You can't believe what God did in my life. Amen? Maybe you're here today and your life is a storm. It's a peril. It's just, you don't see any hope. I want you to know something. The Lord Jesus Christ can calm storms. Here's what's the amazing thing. The wind and the sea obey him, but many men do not. Isn't that amazing? That his authority is so great he can control creation, but we choose to defy him. I think that's foolish, don't you? Amen. I think we ought to obey him, amen? He keeps his promises. You want to know what they are? Read your Bible. There's promises for this life and there's promises for the next. The Bible says this, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel with the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the cloud to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. It's a promise. Amen? But we still have to serve him until that day. Ask yourself these questions, please, with me right now. Quietly, just think about this with me, and then we'll have a word of prayer. Do you know, if you were to die right now, can you say, Pastor, I can show you in the Bible how I know if I was to die right now, I'd wake up in heaven. I can show you that in the Bible, Pastor. If you can't do that, let us help you today. A lot of people say, I hope I'm saved. A lot of people say, I think I'm saved. I hope you can say, I know I'm saved because the Bible says so. Amen? Secondly, please ask yourself this question. Are you a disciple or are you a wannabe? See, the disciple follows the Lord. The wannabe wants to follow the Lord but isn't willing to pay the price. Jesus says to the scribe, if you follow me, you're not going to have the same place to sleep two nights in a row. Well, I'm not sure I want to pay that price, he says. Jesus says, if you're going to follow me, you're going to put me first and let the dead bury their dead. Well, I'm not sure I want to pay that price. Let's pay the price, amen? If you're a wannabe, just convince yourself, ask the Lord to help you. Take it from there to following the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's all stand and pray.